welcome the kids here. I'm so excited that the kids and myself get to come up and hang out with all you grown-ups in big church today. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to be talking about some pretty huge things about God. They're the things that define who we are and what we believe as Christians. They're the things that are the reason why we're here today and come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. A lot of this stuff, maybe stuff that you guys have heard before. It's stuff that we can take about God and the Bible and we can cram it all together into some ginormous list of God facts. And we can certainly do that, but the thing about lists is lists are boring. And God is anything but boring. God is exciting. God is moving. He's working. And so rather than learning about God from a list of things about him, we're going to look at his story together. We're going to discover what God's story is all about. At the end of today, people across this room are going to be responding in a lot of different ways. There's maybe some of you here today that you want to begin walking in God's story for your life today. And I believe some of you are going to make that decision for the very first time today. There's some of you who will understand God's story in a brand new way by the end of today. There's some of you who will realize that you've been walking in God's story, but you're ready to turn a page and start a brand new chapter in God's story for you. So wherever you are, whoever came in today, it's not a mistake. We're here for a reason. You know, there may be some of you here too that at the end of today, you're still not quite sure. Maybe you still have questions and you still need to learn more about God's story before you can jump in with both feet. And that's okay too. But wherever you're at, I'm going to give you different ways to respond, some resources for some of you, some action steps to take so that we can all continue to move forward in God's story together. What is it about a story? All right, we all have our favorite stories, whether it's from a book or a movie or a story someone shared about us. There's something about stories that captivate our imagination, something about stories that grip us, right? And you guys are probably thinking of what the story is in your head, that one story that just you relate with, that you respond to, you connect with, right? It could be absolutely anything. It might be Star Wars, right? It might be Anne of Green Gables. It might be Harry Potter or The Lord of the Rings. Who knows what your story is that you connect with? But what is it about those stories that make us connect? I think it's because every single great story borrows its very best parts from the story, God's big story. And God's big story is powerful. It changes us. And so when another story can borrow pieces from that, we connect with it. How about Bible stories? I want to hear from you this morning. I want you to shout out for me. It's okay. We're in church. Shout out loud your favorite Bible stories. Go. David and Goliath, Jonah and the whale. Keep going. Come on. Balaam and the donkey, right? That's a good one. Yeah, nothing like a donkey talking that we connect with. Absolutely. That's why we like Shrek so much, right? So all these stories that we connect with in the Bible, right? It's incredible because these stories, these individual stories, are all a part of one big story that God has been telling since the beginning of time. God's been telling it to us and unfolding it as we go, and it doesn't end here. He's continuing to tell that story through our lives. This Bible, what's crazy about it is it's not just one book. It's 66 different books put together. They were written by military leaders, by travelers, by warriors, by all sorts of shepherds, fishermen, right? And then they're all put together. They were written over a period of 1,600 years by about 40 different people. And yet, they all fit so nicely together to tell us God's big story. It's incredible. So today, we're going to look into what God's big story is all about, right? It's such a huge story about how God made us and how he loves us more than we could ever imagine. But we're going to dive in, and what better place to start than at the beginning? It's a pretty big story. Let's get to it. In the beginning, there was nothing. There was nothing, but God turned it into everything. God, he created oceans, stars, trees, catfish, parakeets, zebras, and whatever that thing is. Okay, I'm glad you guys know. God created everything, and then God created the best thing yet. The very first man and the very first woman, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were different from everything else God created, because God created Adam and Eve in his very own image. Adam and Eve had perfect, perfect relationship with God. God was their friend, and they were God's friends, and he put them in a paradise that they could enjoy and gave them just one rule to follow. You see that tree right there in the middle of the garden? Don't touch it. Leave it alone. Don't eat the fruit from the tree, because if you do, if you break my one and only rule, you're gonna have to pay. You're gonna have to pay. And that's when it happened. Adam and Eve did the one thing God told them not to do. They took the fruit and they ate it. They broke God's one and only rule. And in that moment, the perfect relationship they had with God, gone. In fact, the entire perfect world that God created was now broken. All right? From that point on, everything changed. People stopped following the God who created them, the God who crafted them in his own image, and instead they chose to go their own way. Their way was not very good. Their way was full of hatred and anger and arguing and murder and war and disease. Their way was awful. But yet they still chose to go that way, but God loved his people and wanted to restore things. And so over the next few thousand years, God gave some ways that people could make that relationship better. At first, God gave them the law, right? 10 commandments and many other laws that go with it, the parts that a lot of times we skip over reading when we're reading through this big story. But that was just way too hard for them to follow. So God gave them judges and kings that they could follow to show them the right way to go. And yet those judges and kings, most of them led them further away from God instead of to God. So God sent prophets, special messengers straight from God to be God's mouthpiece to his people, to speak for him. And yet the people, they chose not to listen. They just ignored those prophets. Yet, God still loved his people. He still wanted desperately to make a way for things to be made right again, for us to experience that perfect relationship God had intended, and he was gonna do it somehow. He promised Adam and Eve, he promised them that he was gonna make it right from the very beginning. And God never, ever breaks his promises. He always keeps them to us. He is always faithful. So, when the time was just right, God sent his one and only son, Jesus. But Jesus didn't come as a king or a warrior or a superhero. He came as a baby. He had to grow up just like me and you. He experienced the things that we experience, the struggles, the trials, the temptations. He went through all of that, but there's one important difference that we need to understand. Jesus was perfect. Jesus never sinned. Jesus did it all exactly the way it needed to be. There's something that Jesus said that helps us understand and put this whole story in context. It's a verse many of us know. It's John 3:16. It says, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Anyone who believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. We're going to break this down. God so loved the world. God made us. He loves us. He wants to be in relationship with us. But just like Adam and Eve in the very beginning, we've all broken God's rules. Every single one of us. Every time we lie, every time we disobey our parents, every time we do that thing that we know we're not supposed to do, we break God's rules. And when we do that, it's called sin. And sin gets in the way of our relationship with God. When you break God's rule, somebody has to pay. Somebody has to pay that price. And there's no way any of us can pay it on our own. So that's where God's rescue plan comes in. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God gave us the most incredible gift ever. He gave us his own son, Jesus, and Jesus lived perfectly. He never sinned. He never messed up. And then he gave his own life for us. Because he never sinned, when he died, his death paid the price for us. His death paid the price for our sins so that we no longer have to pay that price on our own. Because of Jesus, we can have good relationship with God once again. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Anyone who believes in him. Anyone who believes. Anyone. You, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your best friend, your coworker, the new kid at school, the guy who feeds pigeons in the park. Anyone who believes in Jesus, any of us can choose to believe because Jesus is a real person. He's a real person who came to this earth some 2,000 years ago. He gave himself so that we can believe. When Jesus was on the earth, people talked to him. They followed him. They watched Jesus do things that nobody could explain. Things like making blind people see. Things like feeding thousands of people with one tiny little lunch. Incredible, miraculous things that Jesus did. And you know what else people saw Jesus do? They saw Jesus get nailed to a cross and die. But the story doesn't end there either. Because 3 days later, he came back to life. God raised him from the dead, and hundreds of people saw that too. People saw him and the incredible things that he did for us so that we can believe. And now Jesus is waiting for us. He's in heaven with God, and we can live there too. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Anyone who believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. That's the key. We can live with God, not just here, not just now, but forever. When we believe in Jesus, when we believe that he paid a price for us that we could never pay, we enter God's story. And he begins to tell his story through us. He gives us eternal life. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do to buy it. It's a free gift from the creator of the universe that he wants to give to each and every one of us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Anyone who believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. How amazing is that story? How incredible that God would do that, would give his only son for us. And all we have to do is put our trust in him. And we will be part of the one big, incredible, never-ending story that God is right in the middle of telling. It's for us. Right now. This morning, there's some of you who have just been waiting to hear an invitation to become a part of God's story. And so right now, we're going to pause and give anyone in here a chance to say, God, I want to be a part of your story. So I'm going to pray, and if you're ready to be a part of God's story this morning, I just want you to pray this prayer along with me. Just be quietly in your heart. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, today I learned all about your story, how sin broke the perfect world you created, and it's keeping me from having a relationship with you. Thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for making a way for me to be a part of your story. Jesus, today I choose to trust you with every part of my life to make you Lord, to make you the boss. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision today for the very first time, would you do us a favor? In the pew in front of you, there's a connection card that we already directed you to fill out. If you wouldn't mind taking that connection card, and on there, there's a box that says, today, I committed my life to Christ. Because we want to connect with you, we want to celebrate with you, and we want to help you continue to take the next steps as you walk out and live out God's story in your life. Like I mentioned earlier, some of you might not be ready to take that step, and that's okay. If you are not quite ready, but maybe you want to know more about this story, you have more questions to ask, or something doesn't quite make sense, you can take on that same card and right next to that line, write the word more. And if you have questions that are unanswered for you or something that doesn't click, we'll get a hold of you this week and we'll talk you through it. We'll help you understand the best that we can because we want to see God's story change your life. Well, guess what? We're not done yet. There's still more, all right? Because some of you have already made that decision. Some of you have already entered God's story, and God doesn't end there. That's the beginning. There's so much more that God wants for us. So we're going to keep going. Jesus, just a little bit before John 3:16, the verse that we read a little bit ago, right? He describes for us and explains for us what that decision to enter God's story is all about. And in John 3:3, here's what he says. He says, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." It's an interesting choice of words. Nicodemus, who he's talking to right here, his response is, "Born again? How can a guy be born when he's old? This doesn't make any sense. Are you nuts, Jesus?" Right? How does this work? What does it mean to be born again? Well, Jesus, in that moment of decision, when we decide to make Jesus our boss, it's like Jesus allows us to start over. He gives us a fresh start, free from our sin. He lets us kind of have a do-over. And that term born again makes me think that when you make that decision, it's like you get a brand new birthday, right? And who doesn't like birthdays? Everyone knows what you do every year when your birthday rolls around, right? What do? Break good times, come on, right? We celebrate. You have a party. You make a big deal out of it. You invite everyone you know to celebrate with you, right? And it's just like that when we become a part of God's story. God gives us a brand new birthday that we can celebrate. It deserves just as much celebration as a birthday deserves, if not more. In fact, Jesus wanted us to celebrate that born again birthday so much that in the Bible, it's not that he suggests that we should celebrate. He actually commands us. He tells us, you better celebrate, all right? And it's in this big mission that God gives for us in Matthew 28:19. You ready? "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All right, who caught it? You see the celebration part in there? I know some of the kids know this one. I heard some of you guys saying a lot. But wait, there's celebration? Hold on. Okay, go and make disciples. That's the first part of Jesus' command. And that means go and invite other people to be a part of God's story. And after you do that, it says to, what? Baptize them. That's the celebration part. Baptize. If having or being born again is like having a new birthday, then baptism, water baptism, is like our birthday party. You're gonna write that down, all right? I'll explain this to you, all right? If you've ever been to our church before on a baptism Sunday, you will know what a celebration it is. We have a blast celebrating together, right? If you've never been here, you're like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Let me kind of tell you what baptism is all about, all right? So the short version of baptism is, one, you decide that you want to be a part of God's story. You make that decision. You're born again. You have a new birthday. Then you decide that you're going to tell a whole bunch of people about it. And then the last step is you find yourself some water and you have someone dunk you in it. I know. Doesn't sound like your typical birthday party, right? Okay. All right, we'll get there, okay? So let's take it step by step. First, the first thing when you choose to be baptized in water is you're taking a private decision. So that some of you even made here today. A decision between you and God to make him the Lord of your life, to make him the boss. And you're taking that private decision and you're putting it out in the open. You're saying, I'm going to let everyone know about it. You are making it public. We do this when we have baptism at our baptism services by allowing people to tell their stories in the form of a testimony. And what we do is we invite people to come here. They get to tell their story to a camera. And then on Baptism Sunday, we show those stories. We show those testimonies to everyone out here so that they can celebrate with you in what God has done. Now, understand this. We are not celebrating you and how great a decision you made to be baptized. That is not the celebration. Instead, we are celebrating God and what he did through Jesus Christ to allow us to be a part of his story, to be radically changed and transformed by his power. We are celebrating how amazing God is. So when you are baptized, you celebrate. You have a party. You invite other people to the party with you. So you invite others to celebrate with you, and you also invite others for another reason. It's given to us in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We invite others to our celebration to have a party with us and celebrate God, and we invite other people to help us as we walk out God's story every single day of our lives. Because when we choose to be a part of God's story, everything turns out for good, but not everything is always easy. And if you have ever gone through something that's not easy, you know that the more people you have that have your back, the better. And so that's what we do. We invite other people to be a part of that process so that they can celebrate with us and so that they can help us as we walk out God's story. All right, that stuff makes sense, right? If we are deciding to be a part of God's story, we want to make sure that others can celebrate with us. We want to make sure that we have people around us to help us. But now is the silly part of it. The whole dunking in water bit, right? Why in the world would we have to get dunked underwater to go through this whole process, right? How come just inviting people along with us to celebrate and help us isn't good enough? What's with the whole water bit, right? Well, there's a couple of parts to that too. All right, first, we already know that Jesus commanded baptism. He wants us to do that, but he knew it was so important that he didn't just command it. Jesus actually modeled it for us. In Matthew chapter 3, we see Jesus at the start of his ministry goes to the Jordan River and finds John the Baptist, and he tells John the Baptist to baptize him, which literally means to immerse him, to dunk him underwater. I brought Woody here with me from Toy Story, right? And it looks something like this. You ready? Yes. That's it. Pretty cool, right? Should I do it again? All right. Got it. All right, so Jesus modeled this for us. He knew it was important, and he wanted us to follow suit. So he did it along with us. He showed us, I'll go first, and you guys all follow along. But there's another reason besides Jesus just modeling it, and that's what Jesus did, so we do it too. Because water baptism is a symbol. It represents something. It's a symbol of what God has done through Jesus, and it's a symbol of what God has done in our life. First, we know what Jesus did in order for us to be saved, in order for us to jump into his story. He died and rose again. And when we choose water baptism, it represents exactly what Jesus did, that Jesus died and was buried underneath the ground in the tomb. He was dead, but he didn't stay dead. And so when you get baptized and you get brought back out of the water, it shows that Jesus is still alive today, that Jesus is with us, that Jesus is preparing a place for us. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And that's one of the things that is represented in that symbol of water baptism. The other thing is what God has already done inside of us. We talked at the beginning of that story how people chose to go their own way. And when we follow our own way, we are dead to sin. We have no choice. We're trapped. And so when we get baptized, it's that same thing. We're saying that we're taking that old life where we're dead and buried and have no hope, and we're putting it to death forever. We're burying that old part of our lives. And when we come back up, we're brand new. God gives us a brand new life. He lets us start over. We're born again, new birthday, and everything is made right again. That's what baptism is all about. Does baptism save us? No. Jesus saved us, and that's already done. That's already paid for, and for that we get to celebrate. But when we get baptized, we invite others to celebrate with us. We invite others to walk alongside us, and we remember what Jesus did for us in dying on the cross. And we remember what God has done in our hearts by changing our lives forever as we walk according to his story. So, there's some of you in here that you've been walking out God's story in your life, and you've been waiting and trying to figure out what's the next chapter for you. You want to turn the page and see what God's got next for you, and for some of you, that's water baptism. Some of you maybe have been putting it off. Some of you maybe didn't know enough about it. Some of you are ready to be baptized in water and take that next step and celebrate with others and walk alongside others as we walk out God's story together. If that's you, if you're ready to be baptized, we've got a service coming up April 30th. It's a couple weeks after Easter. And if you are interested in baptism, on your connection card, one more time, pull it out. Write down baptism on there. This week, we'll call you. We'll give you all the details. We'll let you know when you can come in and record your testimony. And then on April 30th, you can come and we're going to throw a party together as we celebrate what God has done in our lives. How's that sound? Great? Awesome. Now, there's a few other next steps. You know what? Some of you have already jumped into God's story. You've already been baptized. But you know what? That's not the end of God's story in our lives. God continues to do things. And so if you want, if you connect with any of these next steps that I'm going to share with you, you can write them down at the bottom of your notes under next steps. Here's what they are. All right? It is an incredibly powerful thing to be reminded of and connect with what God has done. And one of the ways we do that is through something called communion. Just like water baptism, communion is also a symbol of what God gave us. The bread represents Jesus's body. The cup represents Jesus's blood that he shed for our sins. We do that here on occasion where we receive communion together, but it's not something you have to wait for us to do at church. It's something that you can do at home with your families around your dinner table. You can do it anytime, and all it is remembering what God has done. If you want to see instructions for how we're supposed to take communion, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives all the instructions for how to take communion. And if you are really wanting to take communion, you can come back at 6 o'clock tonight at our worship night, and we'll give you and your families an opportunity to receive communion together. Next step. If you're a parent, one of the most important things you can do in your entire life is help your kids make these decisions. And I know that it's hard. Sometimes we don't even know where to start. And that's why we called this service today, Start Here. If that's where you're at and you want to continue this conversation with your kids, maybe your kids have more questions after being in here this morning and you want to talk to them about it, we have a discussion guide that you can pick up at the Welcome Center on your way out. Just says, start here. It kind of rehashes a lot of what we talked about in God's story today. It has questions you can ask, and it even has an email that you can get a hold of us if your kid has questions that you don't know how to answer. We want to walk alongside you and help you be the best parent that you can be. Speaking of kids, there's a phrase that we say around here a lot. It's easier to build a kid than to fix an adult. It's easier to build a kid than to fix an adult. Did you know that every Sunday morning, we have over 200 kids in this building? On Wednesday nights, we have nearly 400 kids and students that come onto our campus. That is a lot of kids to help build. A lot of them. And it can't happen just with a parent. Parents cannot do it alone. That's why we need adults like you to come alongside these kids and help them discover God's story for themselves. If that's something that you want to learn more about, you can write Kids World or Epic on your connection card, and we'll connect with you on how you can be a part of changing the story that God is writing in a kid's life.